and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we look into the Word of God today, I'd like for you to notice that whatever the battle, there is hope. Whatever you're going through, there is hope today. And we find that hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in His Word. Now, David would seem to be going through many things. Now, we know that David had many battles. Although he was a man after God's own heart, he fought battles within himself and outside himself. He had many troubles that came into his life, but David knew there was hope in the Lord. And I'd like for us to read once again now. We started this study. And remember, we're in Psalm 27 and verses 1 through 6, but let me read the first two verses. Psalm 27, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, a psalm of David. David said, "The Lord is my light." Remember, He leads us out of darkness. "And my salvation." God has given us salvation just as He gave David salvation. And that is, if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have salvation. And he goes on to say, Whom shall I fear? Who is there that I can fear? He says, "The Lord is my strength." He is the one that gives us the ability to keep on going on. He's my strength. He's the strength of my life, David said, and He's ours as well, those of us who have trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he says, "Of whom shall I be afraid?" We have nothing to fear today because we have the same God that served David, or that David served. We serve Him today. He's never going to change. He's the same God. Verse 2, it says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Now, there are individuals today who would seemingly want to do us harm, whether physically or financially or whatever. But just as David had that hope in the Lord, I want you to know today that whatever the battle is, there is hope, and that hope is in the Lord. Well, now, as we think of David, David is committed to lingering near the Lord. Psalm 27 and verse 4 talks about that. And let's read that verse as well. Let's read verse 3 and 4. "Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." Verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Well, David wanted to linger near the Lord. And in Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4, it says, "How amiable," that means pleasant, "are Thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even Thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in Thy house. They will be still praising Thee. Selah." Well, in Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4, David envies the little birds that make their nests around the tabernacle. They can be near the house of God all the time, while David cannot. David has a desire to be where God is, to be in that place where God is worshiped and honored. Well, that is his heartbeat. He wants to be there where God is. And we ought to have that desire as well. We need that same passion to be where the Lord is honored and where He is worshiped. Of course, we have the church, and we are commanded to be in attendance according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. But I would think there ought to be a desire to find that place of closeness and intimacy with God, no matter where we're at. We can have that place where we can linger in His presence all the days of our lives. If there is a genuine desire to be near Him, it will be manifest and it will manifest itself in clear action. There will be a commitment to prayer and to the study of the Word of God. There will be a commitment to public and private worship. Those who want to linger near the Lord and find a way will do that. And where we make a move toward God, He will make a move toward us. James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Well, not only is David committed to lingering near the Lord, he is committed to loving the Lord, according to Psalm 27 and verse 4. David wants to behold the beauty of the Lord, and that is, he wants to seek His face. You see, not only is David committed to being where the Lord is, but he is also committed to worshiping the Lord. And that is a worthy goal for life. And this should be the goal of every believer as well. If we are going to worship the Lord, we are going to have to do it His way. And Jesus told us how to worship in John 4:24. It says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." You see, as we yield to the Spirit of God and worship God for who He is, as He is revealed in the Word of God, we will be engaged in the business of loving Him. How long has it been since you said, "I love you, Lord"? Well, not only is David committed to lingering near the Lord and committed to loving the Lord, he is committed to leaning on the Lord, according to Psalm 27, verse 4. David also expresses his desire to call upon the Lord to commune with God and to make make his requests of God. And this is another image of worship. David in this psalm, Psalm 27, declares his utter dependence upon the Lord for the necessities of life. David looks beyond his own abilities and sees the limitless provisions of the Lord. And therefore, he wants nothing more than to be able to call upon the Lord. You see, what a limitless resource we have been given in prayer. We are invited to pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, we are promised that God will hear and answer our prayers. In Isaiah 65:24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." God knows us, and He knows the prayer requests before we even give them. John 14, verses 13 and 14, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, sometimes we get discouraged. We pray for certain things, and it doesn't seem like it comes to pass. Well, remember, God knows more than we do. It may be something we're praying for that is not good for us, and God knows best, and that's the way we should pray. "If thy will, if it is your will, Lord, please grant this." Well, because God will hear us, and He does answer our prayers, and because He does that, we need to also learn to lean upon Him. Instead of worry and fear, we need to learn to turn to the Lord. He will see to our needs. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And God's not finished there. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "But my God," Paul says this, "but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He will never fail us, nor will He ever turn us away empty-handed. learn that our commitment to Him provides hope in the day of our battles. As we linger near Him, love on Him, and lean on Him, we can have the absolute confidence that He will see to our needs, and to the things that would cause us to worry, He can take care of those things. Well, not only does our confidence in the Lord provide hope, and our commitment to the Lord provide hope, our comfort in the Lord provides hope. Psalm 27, verses 5 and 6 talks about this, and you see, God has a sheltered place for us, according to Psalm 27 and verse 5, where it says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up on a rock." He's the one who gives us stability. David tells us that the Lord will hide him in His pavilion. A king's pavilion was a tent that was erected in the middle of the army's encampment. The tent was then surrounded by an army of brave soldiers. And with all the host of the army camped about, the king's pavilion was the safest place on the battlefield. And those who were fortunate enough to be allowed to enter the king's pavilion were protected by the soldiers and entertained by the king during the battle. Note, the word hide means to treasure away. As the battles of life rage against us and around us, we are safely tucked away in our king's pavilion. The Bible tells us that your life is hid with Christ in God, according to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Could there be a safer place in all the universe of, and we look at this, is there any safer place? Of course not. Those who have entered into His pavilion are protected by Him, and even while the battles rage around us, they're entertained with the peace and joy of the King Himself. That's us. We're entertained by the King Himself. And this promise is to those who will abide in that close place. No enemy can penetrate the defenses and enter this private place. It's protected from the enemy. The assurance of God's sheltering place allows us to weather the storms of life with hope. This is what allowed David to face Goliath. This was the confidence that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This was the assurance that gripped the heart of Daniel. And this was the knowledge that allowed Paul to continue, even when he suffered greatly. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11 speaks of that. Well, not only does God have a sheltered place for us, God has a secret place for us, according to Psalm 27 and verse 5. The word tabernacle brings to mind the place of worship. The secret refers to the Holy of Holies. And that place, which was off limits to all but the high priest, and he could only enter there one day per year, and then only with the blood of an innocent sacrifice. It was a place that other men entered under the penalty of death. Yet, it is that secret place to which God takes His precious friends. The Holy of Holies was a place where the very presence of God dwelt, and the glory of God could be seen. It was there that God took David during the battles of his life. It was there David found himself shut up with God and shut off from the world around him. Well, in a king's house, this place referred to the private apartment of the king. It was a place no one could enter unless they did so at his bidding. To do otherwise invited instant death. There is hope in your battle today. I don't know what you're going through, but God says you have hope. You've trusted me as your Savior, and I'm your Savior. I'm your King. I am your hiding place. I am your strength. Cast all your care upon the Lord today, because He cares for you. Serve Him today as His child.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.